With the warmer weather and the easing of COVID restrictions, we're getting out and about more, and many people are spending time on local waterways. This is Lisa Berry, and one of the more popular in our area is the Huron River. But things are a bit different on the river this summer. We're joined now by Huron River Watershed Council Planner Daniel Brown to talk about what's going on. Welcome, Daniel. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thank you, Lisa.
So we're hearing about water levels on the Huron River. Can you tell us what's happening?
Yeah, so water levels this year are significantly below normal and significantly below where they've been for the past 2 years. So what we're seeing is that people, as they're going out exploring the river, as they're interacting with the river, the waterways, the connected lakes, they're finding water levels that are significantly below maybe what they have expected based on past experience over the past 2 years.
I'm hearing something about 2 to 3 feet below in some places.
Yeah, over the past month or so in scouting out different parts of the river and different lakes, we've had a lot of reports of things like stranded pontoon boats, floating docks that are just basically sitting on exposed bottomlands. And in places we're seeing, water levels that are maybe about 2-3 feet below where they were last year. And remembering that water levels were quite high last year, but they're still significantly below where we would expect them to be at this time of year normally.
So you take your kayak out or your tube out, and what are you hearing from people trying to recreate on the Huron River this summer?
Yeah, in many places, there isn't much difference. So where you can find a nice big lake, so Proud Lake's one area where I was just touring a few weeks ago, and water levels up there are pretty normal compared to most years. The water level in the upper part of the watershed is less variable throughout the season. But in other parts of the river, particularly in areas where the river corridor is narrower or shallower in general, we know that people are having a lot of trouble getting through. So one particular stretch that we know has been really problematic is between Island Lake State Recreation Area and Huron Meadows Recreation Area, or the Chain of Lakes area. We're seeing really shallow waters through there, and that's also an area that is this really pristine, natural stretch of river, and we manage it for wildlife habitat, so we don't remove a lot of the woody debris or have others remove a lot of the woody debris or fallen trees, because that's good for fish and insects and other things like that. But because of the low water levels and because of that really natural management of the river, it's pretty tough to get through that particular stretch of river. But in other places, you look farther down, if you look closer to Ann Arbor, certainly lakes that are behind a dam like Ford Lake or Belleville Lake, or the Flat Rock Impoundment, water levels are going to be pretty consistent to past years in those areas. So there's still places to paddling, but it is certainly affecting where people can get through, maybe the type of paddle or trip that they had planned. So they're having to adjust plans to account for the changing water levels from the past few years.
So the impact of this is not just on the river, but the lakes that it feeds.
Yeah, so in especially where we're seeing, where we see connected lakes, so either lakes that feed the Huron River, or lakes that are basically offset from the Huron River on the chain of lakes. We are getting reports, particularly in a lot of connected channels on those lakes, that water levels are also low there. It's all part of the same hydrology. So water levels on all those connected lakes and streams are also quite low, and that's actually where we're seeing the biggest impacts to a lot of homeowners, where water levels are actually dropping, away from seawalls that they had installed during high water level periods. Pontoon boats that are anchored to docks are now sitting on exposed bottomlands. So there are neighborhoods that are looking at options for dredging out those channels, or, dredging in front of their home so that they can get their boat out on the water. Of course, we don't recommend that because this is a pretty extraordinary year. These are dry, low water levels, and dredging and some of those other steps that people you know, might want to take at this point that can damage the environment. And then once the water levels come back up, that damage has been done and is, you know, damage the ecosystem going forward. So this isn't a great year to, you know, make significant plans around infrastructure around, because it is just such an unusual year and water levels are so low.
Did I ask that question incorrectly? Do rivers feed lakes or lakes feed rivers?
Yeah, generally in the Huron, most of the connected lakes that we see, you know, those are flowing into the Huron River. And in other cases, there are impoundments on the main stem of the river. So, you know, good examples of that are, you know, Kent Lake, Barton Pond, you know, Ford Lake, and the Flat Rock impoundment. All of those are ponds that are actually created by dams that are on the main stem of the river. So it's really interchangeable whether or not you call those a lake or a part of the river. Mm. But certainly the conditions that you find in those areas can be very different from other parts of a natural flowing river, because the water levels are essentially managed by the dams in those places. But in other parts of the watershed, like particularly through like Pinckney State Recreation Area, you know, the chain of lakes through the southern part of Livingston County, you know, we have other connected lakes and creeks. And in those cases, you know, those water bodies are feeding into the Huron River.
Daniel Brown is a planner with the Huron River Watershed Council. So I guess we have to ask, what is causing these low water levels?
Yeah, so this year it's you know, entirely driven by this long-term sustained weather pattern. So we're in both a short and long-term drought, according to the U.S. Drought Monitor. What climatologists have been telling us for many years is that we should expect these big swings, you know, these big swings and more variability from year to year and over multi-year periods between extremely dry conditions to extremely wet conditions to extremely dry conditions. You know, if we go back, you know, 2013, 2014, remember lake levels on the Great Lakes were extremely low. You know, we've just gone through this period of extremely high water levels where we're seeing erosion and impacts that. And now we're back into a year with, you know, drought conditions and low water levels on many inland lakes and waterways. And there's, you know, many different factors in climate that are playing into that. But essentially, you know, with warmer weather, we see more evaporation, but we also see more precipitation over the Great Lakes region. And as you pull on one end or the other of those different factors, you can get these periods of extreme dry conditions or extremely wet conditions, and you increase the chance that you're going to have, you know, a really variable period between those conditions. And that's similar to what we've seen over the last several years with these big swings between wet and dry. So this unfortunately looks like something that we can expect more of in terms of this high variability between wet and dry years. And of course, that makes it really difficult to plan if you own waterfront, or if you're trying to figure out how to recreate on different water bodies in Michigan. That makes it really difficult to plan long-term for the future for, you know, what your home needs or what your community needs, or, you know, where you want to spend your time.
In the last minute we have left, and Daniel, we appreciate all this information you're sharing with us. And I don't want to get political and I don't want to get controversial, but for those who may not be fully aware, in under a minute now, what impacts the climate? What are we as human beings, or what's happening that is having an impact?
Yeah, overwhelmingly, the cause of, you know, all the climate change that we talk about is the burning of fossil fuels for energy. So it's burning of coal, gasoline, oil for energy. So it is human activity, and it's primarily humans burning of fossil fuels that's contributing to climate change. And in recent years, you know, many scientists have looked at, you know, how to attribute natural and human cause factors to changes in climate. And generally what they've found is that if you took human activity and human effects out of the equation, so if we weren't burning gas, we weren't burning fossil fuels, we actually think that the climate would have cooled slightly since the Industrial Revolution. And of course, it hasn't done that. We've warmed pretty significantly and pretty rapidly. And unless we reduce emissions, unless we keep fossil fuels in the ground, reduce carbon emissions, we can expect this warming trend to continue. And that will drive, many of these effects that we're seeing in Michigan with variability